Hi, everybody. This is Doug Fleming here to present my paper on Deleuze-Guattari, Language as a Problem. I posted this to my website along with a French version of the PowerPoint slides and a bilingual abstract. You're, of course, welcome to look at any of this. I'm really welcome comments and suggestions. My email address, of course, is there at the bottom of the title slide, with the address of my particular website. So if you're interested in any of this stuff, please email me. I'm very open to comments and discussion. Now, if you're not familiar with Deleuze and Guattari, these are post-structural French theorists from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, I guess. Deleuze died in 1995. They're very popular theorists at the moment. They have challenged, or they did challenge, a number of conceptions, holdovers from classical Marxism, for example. They talked a lot about power relations and the fluidity of different things. A lot of people have used them in their discussions of environmental orientations, flows between different species, and so on. I mean, they had a whole wealth of interests, film and art and so on. So they're well worth exploring, but they are very difficult to read. It's taken me years to come to grips with them, mainly because I also had to make sure that I had a good foundation within modern philosophy. So these are challenging notions, but I think they're very well worth exploring. Again, it's something that has had great influence in what we're doing today. I'm not going to go into a lot of the theory, but I am going to try and discuss some of the pertinent thoughts that they had around language, and I'm going to relate it to work that we did at the University of Ottawa several years ago, where we had groups of rural Chinese English teachers visit us over the course of the summer for professional development. What we attempted to do there was to challenge whole sets of notions in an effort to try and decolonize our work, which of course colonization of English, of course, has been critiqued by a number of people, but what we wanted to do is to try and find ways to do that in practice, in a practical sense, with a professional development program. And we try to do that mainly through challenging the notion of the native speakers. We collected a lot of data, interviews, class assignments, and so on, from the teachers when they were in Canada, but also we did go to China about 3 or 4 months after they returned home to collect data around the challenges that they faced in implementing some of the stuff that they had determined themselves through their experiences in Canada. So, just to start off with, I mean, Deleuze, very critical of what might be called mainstream Chomskyan transformational biologically based linguistics. In fact, he said that linguistics has done a lot of harm, and I'll talk a little bit about what he meant by that in a minute. Echo some of the stuff that Volosinov described, other theorists, of course, that there's no inert system of self-identical norms. Instead, we find ourselves witnessing the ceaseless generation of language norms. So in this talk, I'll talk about how these describe how some of these principles in Deleuze and Guattari work in relationship to mainstream linguistics, and how they've basically, how these notions within mainstream linguistics has countered, really problematized much of our work. I want to also note that these two theorists are in many ways the precursors of new materialism, which of course is a very popular notion these days within all of the social sciences. And but in particular, I'm going to, of course, center, as I said, on the notion of the native speaker. You're probably aware that the very discipline of linguistics got to start with Saussure's notions of lang and parole, this distinction between the ways in which we concretely use language and its formal abstract nature. Saussure, who's a scholar from whales that I really admire, talked about how this these notions of privilege, Lang in particular, and in an attempt to create the science of linguistics. And he problematizes that whole notion of how can you develop a science when you're describing human nature. I mean, even the physical sciences have moved beyond the sort of static static notions about how reality works. So, and how can you use that, those kinds of old scientificized kind of notions to talk about human behavior? So, you know, but this attempt at the science and developing the science of linguistics, Lissert argues, is very, very problematic and results in what you could call fetishization of standard grammarian approaches to ESL. I'm using fetishization in the same way that Marx did. So, Deleuze and Guattari criticize mainstream linguistics as assuming that the study of language is best done in ways that downplay any consideration of non-linguistic phenomena. In other words, to develop a scientifically based discipline, is concerned with a series of hierarchical functions based upon a representation and the unfettered and transparent exchange of information. In other words, power relations, ideology, politics are irrelevant. Now, I know I'm simplifying things here, and a number of Chomsky's followers have developed this further. I just want to emphasize that Chomsky, even recently, has still argued that the native speaker construct is real, that language is biologically derived and is something unique to our particular species. So, as I say, these are notions that I think have had a destructive aspect to them in terms of our teaching and methodology. Further, mainstream linguistics conceives of language as an abstract and idealized system governed by sets of rules, fixed rules that constitute a standard. In other words, the native speaker universal grammar in particular, and conceives of language changes advancing in a series of stable states. Languages evolve and are self-contained. Of course, languages evolve, but the argument that Deleuze and Guattari make is that this is something that it's better thought of as becoming, moving away from stable states. So they argued that language is a series of materially based heterogeneous moi de or, a collective assemblage of enunciation. Language is not a hierarchically organized and standardized set of biologically derived rules that constitutes statements of fact. Language is indelibly connected to other phenomena, always meaning more than what the speaker intends. And you can see, of course, parallels with Derrida and Barthes and others. Something with material force, so parallels here with speech act theory, Austin, Searle, and so on, and a set of subsystems that are in constant flux and contention. That these changes are historical. Again, probably you can find parallels, many parallels with many philosophers, but Foucault, of course, in particular, and that this is a set of becoming, that there's no such thing as a movement from stable to stable states. And Penny Cook, Alim, Ibrahim, Kanagaraja have talked about this in terms of linguistic flows and recently within our field. And that language is partially organized and partially chaotic. It's quite a complicated thing. This echoes some of the points made by Halliday in his structure of systemic functional grammar, which is often touted as the alternative to Chomsky. So, as Lissert summarizes it, language is a sedimentation of rules, maxims, and meanings in which the history of a culture is inscribed. This is at odds with many aspects of the current dominant forms, orientations of language, models of language, Chomsky's structural generative transformational grammar, and linguistics in particular. More recently, Davies has called this continued neglect of the concrete aspects of teaching evidence of the dead hand of linguistics. Oh, I love that quote. Of course, again, it harkens back to some of the stuff that Marx talks about, the dead hand on the brain of living, and so on. But, you know, the continued neglect of concrete aspects of teaching also, you can see, was described by Stern in several decades ago, where he talked about, you know, how the influence of linguistics, sociology, and psychology has been quite dominant within our field, but you know, the whole notion of how to actualize these concepts within concrete teaching, which you call the teaching education frameworks, you know, has been neglected. So anyway, the project at the University of Ottawa, as I say, this was a multi-year project over the summer. What we tried to do is develop a post-colonial approach with critical lecture content and decentralized delivery. We developed the curriculum with the Chinese Scholarship Council, the Beijing Language and Cultural University, the Embassy of China in Ottawa. This was delivered with the active participation of ELAB, with the bilingual institute at our institution, Catholic School Board, where they were kind enough to get the teachers who are visiting us out to see practical classroom pedagogy. And we also involved, to a certain extent, a local First Nation. At least we got these teachers in contact with a local First Nation in order to demonstrate how minority language development was programmed in Canada. Most of these teachers, since they came from rural China, but they were working with, and in many cases were actually themselves, multi-lingual speakers from minoritized languages. These were, you know, teachers from Hunan province and Gansu province, which are the most heavily, they have the largest population of minoritized speakers within the country. So it's important, you know, we felt, to operationalize theoretical constructs such as the communicative approach to second language teaching in relationship to local context. Our job was not to tell people about the mantras associated with a particular approach. Our approach was to try and work out with them, you know, what they could use from what we were describing in our own pedagogy to their own local contexts. Ken Garage and others have talked about this, developing the local within the global, you know, honoring the local expertise of teachers, and, you know, not assume that everyone's going to adopt the communicative approach or whatever approach we have in the West automatically. These things have to be negotiated between the center and the periphery, as it were. So we argue that the notion of the native speaker comes from Bloomfield from the 30s, and of course adopted by Chomsky, sets up an impossible and monolingual ideal that has represented most speakers of English as deficient, citing quote Firth and Wagner here. And although Reason Magnus, probably mispronouncing these names, have argued that native and non-native teachers both have their places in second language education, Nusrat Emin, you know, her famous work from 2000, clearly documented that non-native speakers of English such as herself are usually viewed as inferior to those considered native. Phillips went even further by attacking the very notion as a fallacy that has led to a hierarchy within the profession. So to counter the notion of the native speaker, the project drew upon multilingual, multi-ethnic, and multiracial faculty. We adopted curriculum we adapted curriculum to the unique professional and linguistic needs and goals of the Chinese teachers. We encouraged the participants to consider political and ideological implications of their work through small group workshops and school visits. We encouraged participants to adapt modeled classroom practice to their own teaching context. We emphasized practical, concrete, and functional learning goals and de-emphasized standard grammar and the goal of fluency. So what makes Deleuze and Guattari's orientation valuable in this context? Again, languages are subsets in constant flow and contention. Politics, minor and major, I'm using some of the nomenclature that they employed. But the main point here is that minoritized languages and literatures are in opposition to major standardized forms in ways that are clearly political and ideological. In other words, language is a problem to be explored. Go back to the top. And once again, there is my contact information at the University of Ottawa, dfleming@uottawa.ca, and my website at Weebly. Really welcome comments and suggestions. Thank you so very much.